Amen. Amen. In Him. Beautiful singing, gentlemen. Thank you very much. I love those kind of music. Yeah, I get those a lot from back home. It's a beautiful day inside, isn't it? It's warm in here. And we are happy to be alive and relatively well. I hope you are all doing good. How are you feeling this morning? That's all right. It's all right. That's all right. We all can say God is good regardless of how we are doing. Am I right? We all can testify of His greatness and His faithfulness regardless of how we are actually feeling right now. You know, the reality is that a lot of persons, you know, I always like to say this just to remind us, you know, of the fact that God is faithful. Many persons woke up Sunday, you know, the first day of the week, and they took their time, probably had their planners in their hand, you know, made plans for the week until, you know, Saturday. Today, you know, a lot of persons haven't lived to see today, you know, and they started off the week believing that they would have. So I'm happy to be here today with you all. Regardless of how outside is, I'm feeling warm inside. Today the word comes to us from the book of John, the fourth gospel, from chapter 1, verses 38 and 39. Well, the passage of scripture right there speaks of the first disciples of Jesus. And it reads, verse 38, when Jesus turned and he saw them following him, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translates and means teacher, "where are you staying?" Verse 39, he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Shall we pray? Father, have your sweet own way even now. May your people be blessed and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic of the sermon this morning is, what do you want? And I believe this is a fair question to ask us in regards to being in the church of God, in relation to the gospel message. I remember about 5 years ago, I was sitting in a group with some young people, and the question was thrown out at us, "What do you want for yourself?" Or, "Where do you see yourself within the next 5 years?" Now, I thought to myself, I took an introspective look within me, and I thought of the question carefully before I responded. And that time, I was jobless, you know, at home. And I said to myself, within the next 5 years, I do not want to be the same place I am today. So I made some goals. One of them was to, you know, start university, hopefully graduated within the next 4 years. Another one was also pray that God will grant me a wife. And also to see myself excelling in the church of God. And I also asked myself the question, where will I put my family and my friends in that picture? Where would they fit? More importantly also, where would I put Christ in that picture within the next 5 years of my life? The question also I would ask you, if Jesus was to ask you the question, what do you want from me? So you are here, but just to say it would appear and ask you the question, what do you desire from me? What would you tell him? You know, the passage here, it's in John chapter 1, it speaks of two disciples followed Jesus after John the Baptist had proclaimed that this Jesus is the Messiah. The Bible says that these men, they were first the disciples of John the Baptist. These two men that were following Jesus, they were first the disciples of John the Baptist. And so after John made the proclamation on the second day after Jesus' baptism, we would see that in previous verses, when he baptized Jesus, and then the Bible says, on the next day, as John saw Jesus walking by, he proclaimed once more, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And with that proclamation, these two disciples started following Jesus. Therefore, it is evident then for them to follow him. They were curious. You know, we can assume that they were curious. That's why they started following Jesus. Therefore, they started following him maybe to learn more of him. Since John proclaimed that he is the Messiah, long-awaited Messiah of Israel, the one who would come and make changes to rule. You know, these men were curious to learn more of him. Now the question was asked to them. So they're following Jesus, and he stopped and asked them, you know, why are you following me? What's your purpose? What do you want? Why are you here? Now, the gospel story will tell us that many persons have followed Jesus for various reasons. Many of us here, matter of fact, everybody here has his or her own reason why we are following Jesus. So then, these men answered Jesus, "Where are you going? Where are you staying?" And what struck me mostly of this passage, saints of God, is the response that Jesus gave them. Now, their response to him suggests that they might have only wanted information from him. But Jesus is always more than what we anticipate of him. Jesus, my friends, he always gives you more than what you actually bargains for. You come seeking for something, but, you know, may I caution somebody that be careful of what you really ask of Jesus. He always surprises you with something. Personally, I can tell you when I decided to join the church and to give my life to Christ, I had no idea what God had in store for me. But I can guarantee somebody that whatever he has in store for you, it will not be more than you can actually manage. So then he asked him the question, why are you here? Why are you following me? What do you want? What is it that you are seeking after? They answered by asking him information. But with Jesus, you always get more than what you actually bargain for. You never know what he has up his sleeves. This brought to my attention, however, the focus of today's sermon, which is the response that Jesus gave them. So they asked, where are you staying? Now he said to them, come and see. Come and see. Now for me, that's a powerful statement right there. Those three words, come and see. What I gather from this passage of sermon, this passage of scripture, however, is three pointers. The first one, what Jesus offers in that short sentence, come and see. Firstly, he offers an experience of salvation. An experience to live in his presence, and an experience to encounter change. Come and see. This is an experience that he offers through his salvation, through his calling. Now, for this first quarter, we are looking at the theme, I serve. And we have been talking about the church being active in service. And under that, that comes under discipleship. Now, this calling to come and see is a call to discipleship. So when we actually say we are following Jesus, we're actually telling him that I am ready and I am available to become your disciple. This, my friends, is an invitation Jesus is issuing out for us to come and learn of him. It is not just where I am staying, Jesus is saying. It's not where I am staying, but it's where I am actually going. It's not only where I am going, Jesus is saying, my friends, but also where I want to take you, where I want you to go, what I want you to experience in being with me. That's what Jesus is saying in this short sentence, come and see. And it is, my friends, in my own experience in walking with Christ, now, I personally have come to understand that God desires to take all of us to a higher level. So my personal experience has taught me that when Christ actually calls you, he calls you where you are and how you are. It doesn't matter your current circumstances. He will take you as you are, but he also has a goal for you. He wants to take you to a higher experience with him. He wants you to really learn and understand what it actually means to have that kind of relationship with him. What it means to be saved, my friends. What it means to have a life living full in Jesus Christ. What it means to live the abundant life that is promised to us. That's God's plan for us. So then, he also wants you and I to inherit the same desire that he has. So what do I want from him? It's not all the time the most important thing, but what he actually wants you and I to desire, to have that closer relationship with him, to want to come to him, to want to see, feel, and taste of him. This, my friend, is a pattern of God. Now, this is exemplified right here in this passage of scripture. Why? In the time of Jesus, we must understand the Bible in its context. The time of Jesus, here we see that John the Baptist firstly proclaimed Christ to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And in that time, many persons had disciples. John the Baptist, he had his disciples. But my friends, there is one thing uncommon that was the norm in that days. When a person has his disciples, the purpose of having disciples was for that teacher to teach his disciples, then to send the disciples to go and teach others. So then, rarely would one recommends or send his own disciples to go and follow a greater teacher. Now, look where I'm going. This is exactly what John the Baptist did. He had his disciples. Jesus didn't have any disciples at that time. But what John did, my friend, he recognized that this Messiah is greater than he is. He recognized that even though he had his disciples, he had his limits. And he recognized that what Christ could have given his disciples, he could not have. Therefore, John take the humility standpoint, and he displayed confidence in the fact that he believed Christ was the Messiah. Therefore, what happened? So John sent his disciples to Jesus. And what happened? When Christ received them, he taught them and he sends them. And today what we have is a church of God that was birthed through that experience of those same disciples taking up the offer that Christ gave to receive, come, taste, and see what he had to offer. Today, the same thing the church is saying for us. As we come here, my friends, we must experience Christ on an intimate level, a higher level, to receive what he has to offer. And when we receive that, we must also put into action as the disciples has done and go and serve others. That's the purpose of the church, to serve others. Firstly, we must have that relationship with Christ, and then it's for us to go and serve others. Now, when Jesus made that offer, it is an offer to receive him in order for you to give. An offer, my friends, to become disciplined in your ways, to make changes in your ways, an offer to make commitment to him. Now, we're not talking about mediocrity now. We're talking about real commitment. We're talking about selfless commitment. We're talking about putting off what you personally desires and want, and taking up what Christ desires and want of you. That's what the word of God is saying here. Christ, my friend, is making the offer for all of us not to just come and sit on every Sabbath after Sabbath. It's not about the sermons that you hear, my friends, but it's about allowing the word of God to penetrate you and to challenge you to make that difference so you, my friend, can inherit the abundant life that is promised to us to become heirs of God's kingdom. The second point then, after you receive that offer to come and see what Christ actually has in store for you. The second thing in that statement, Christ is also saying, come, my friends, and experience my presence. Come, my friends, and experience my presence. What it actually means to dwell within me, to have me be a part of your immediate circle of friendship, to understand and experience for yourself that kind of relationship that you don't have to hear from others what it actually means to have that relationship with me. He wants you to experience that for yourself. Now, what does that mean for me personally? Jesus' invitation to come and see is also an invitation, a call to intimacy. A call to intimacy. Now, the Middle Ages provided, there's a set of women that was found about, who lived in the Middle Ages, about the 11th, 12th century. Now, they were called the Beguines. And they were a set of lay women. What they would actually do, they wanted to experience a personal relationship with Christ. And so what they did, my friends, they formed Christian communities to pursue that kind of relationship with Christ. So then, what they would do, they would come together on a daily basis, and they would read the scripture together, discuss it together, meet with friends who are of the same like-mindedness, who desire that same kind of experience with Christ. They would meet together and cultivate their personal relationship with the Lord. And in their writing that have been found years afterwards, they would often describe their intimate relationship with God as nothing but pure sweetness. Pure sweetness. No, can I wholeheartedly and passionately You know, I remember when I you know, I met my wife, and I would talk about her all the time. My friends would be like, "Man, you're crazy! All you do is talk about this Miss Campbell, Miss Campbell." That's what she was named before. Yeah, but I would talk about her with such passion because I know the kind of relationship that we had developed and the closeness of her to my heart. But can we actually have that same kind of passion that when we describe the relationship we have with Christ, it can be described only as pure sweetness. Nothing less than pure sweetness, my friends. This level of intimacy was experienced by one of the two men that followed Jesus. The Bible says that they followed him. They asked him, "Where are you staying?" He replied to them, "Come and see." Now, the Bible said that they stayed with him for that day. But the Bible further goes to say that one of the men called Andrew, what he did, after he experienced that call to come and see, and when he accepted that offer and he dwelt with Christ, probably it was less than just 24 hours. The Bible says he probably couldn't contain himself. I imagine he didn't say the time of the day, but I imagine that. But what he learned of the man in those hours, the Bible says he went, my friends. He went and he went and he called his other brother. Right there, what we see in action is discipleship right away. Service right away. So you come, you taste, you see, you experience. And it is so sweet that you cannot contain it. No way you can't contain it. You cannot sit down and feel comfortable. The same because something exciting is happening. You must go and share. I always say that, you know, when freeness is given away, you know, people always call their friends, "Hey, you know, come on, something is given away down the road." Yeah. It's like you cannot contain it for yourself. You have to go and share it with others. That, my friends, is the kind of experience Christ wants for us. I remember when I got saved. I remember, you know, at age 15, some of you might have heard, but this is my story, as the guy sung before. And it will always be my story. For when I got saved, I remember I used to in the immediate weeks and months while still in high school, I always talk to my friends about my experience of Jesus. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The places I used to go, I go there no more. The kinds of friends I used to hang around with, I did that no more. I was now experiencing a newness in Jesus, something I've never experienced before. I was not in the church. I was not being preached to on a weekly, monthly, or yearly basis. But what I experienced, my friend, from what the evangelist spoke of Jesus, and I actually tried him for myself, I accepted that call, and I went, I saw, I tasted, I experienced. I had to just share that kind of experience with my friends. That's the kind of experience that Christ wants for us. And it's not for us to just receive it only for the first few weeks or only for the first few months. But Christ wants us to always be in his presence, to grow continuously. That's the kind of discipleship and service Christ wants for us, to grow continuously. So therefore, after we receive his offer and dwell in his presence, my friends, we come to learn that a day with Jesus is all you need to become his disciples. From this experience,
You don't have to be in the church for weeks, months, or years before you can actually decide to start becoming active. Right away when you come to Christ, right away when you experience His power in your life, right away, my friends, you become active. It doesn't matter what you can do. I cannot sing like those men. I cannot play the piano or the organ. But what I can do, I can talk, and I will talk all day long about Jesus. That's all He needs from us. Just a heart of service. And that's why I'm here today, speaking to you guys. So therefore, with Jesus, seeing is experiencing Him. Not just in the physical sense, Christ wants us to experience Him, but He also wants us to experience Him in the psychological sense. Because these men, they wanted to be at a physical place with Him. But what they got was more than that. They got a psychological experience with Jesus. They got a mental picture of what He has in store for them. They, my friends, got a spiritual rejuvenating experience with Him. He told them about the social issue and how changes can be made through them when they allow Him to work in their lives. And beyond that, they gain an intellectual experience with Jesus. There's no limitation when it comes on to working with Jesus. There's no limitation in the church of God. When you come here, my friends, He has already provided all the necessities that you will need to grow in Him. That's my personal experience. The third and final point then is to experience the change that He has to offer. When you say, come and see. So what do you want? What is it really that you want being here today? Christ is asking you the question. Do you want self-gain? Do you just want to come weeks after weeks, month after month, year after year, and you still remain the same? Do you want, when Christ can look at you, He can be proud of you and say, this person I've allowed his himself or herself to grow in me? To experience the change in power that He has to offer. My friends, Andrew, the Bible says, Andrew, when he dwelt with Jesus for that day, the Bible says that he now experienced the presence of Christ. What it is like to dwell in the presence of Christ. The Bible says he displayed true service through discipleship. He went and he got his brother Peter. So then, what does it look like to experience change in Christ? Now, for me personally, it's more than just an internal change, but it's an outward change as well. It's a change whereas you cannot direct it. It just has to take its course. Recently, I saw a lady on the internet at a church service. And so the pastor called her on stage to give her the opportunity to share an experience, her experience. And when she started speaking, she started off by saying that the day before, people saw her running around and thought that she was crazy. But what she continued to say, she said, you all don't know my experience. You all don't know where I'm coming from. Then she started to share that she was born and she grew up in the projects. She said the place that she comes from is a place where teenage pregnancy is the norm of the day. It's a place, my friends, where the use of drugs and addicts, that's the lifestyle of those communities. She testified that she should have died at age 10. She continued, my friends, to share her experience. And she made the proclamation. She said, I am a living testimony of Jesus' saving grace. Now for me, that meant a lot because I can relate to her experience. I was born in the inner city communities. I was exposed to the gangs, the guns, the violence. I was exposed, my friends, to all the manner of evil there could have been in those kind of communities. And to be frank with you, the nature of my home community has not changed. It's the same as it has been over the years. People are still dying. Females are getting pregnant before they reach high school, and they feel proud of it. When a young man at age 14 and 15 has a child holding in his arms, he is the man of the time. Now, that's my perception of life before I met Christ. Now, I might not have taken the hard drugs, but I've done a few drinking, smoking. I've had my fair share of immoral experiences and I had my messed up thinking. So what does it mean to experience that call to come and see? For me personally, my friends, I'm a living testimony. Christ changed me. Christ saved me from myself. Christ is still able to change, to save, and to allow you to experience what it means, my friends, to accept that offer, to dwell in his presence, and know what it really means to be changed through his grace. Right here in the Word of God, the punch then is not really what you want. It's not what I want. I want to be a pastor. I want to be the first elder. I want to be able to come and sing Sabbath after Sabbath. I want to be able to lead out. I want to be the minister of music. It's not what you want, but what Christ wants for you. And what Christ wants for us, my friends, is to have that experience with him. And not to just be churchgoers or to have member of the Tacoma Park Assembly Adventist Church. But what Christ wants for us is to be agents of change. Agents of change. So when you come Sabbath after Sabbath and you receive the word, you allow the word to infiltrate and penetrate you enough that you will be compelled to do more, to serve. Now, everyone doesn't have to be a preacher or to go there. But whatever you can do, ask him to show you. Ask him, my friends. I wanted to sing. I tried singing. But it's just not for me, Pastor. But what can I do? I recognize I might not be a great planner. I might not be the one to plan great programs, but if you plan that program and you give it to me, I will lead this congregation. So what can you do? You don't have to be the one to stand up here in front. You can be behind the scene. What can you do? It's not necessarily what you want. It's what Christ wants for you. So then, what do you want? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Not just your personal goal, but where does Christ and the mission of the church fits in that? As I close, my friends, what is exemplified throughout Scripture is immediate active discipleship. Immediate active discipleship. And that is seen through Andrew's act of service. For what Andrew did when he went and he called Peter, Christ came. When Peter came Christ took him and changed him, made him become the head of the church. Peter, who was this boisterous, foul mouth, heady guy, quick to speak, unconverted. We see that when he was converted and he allowed himself to be changed by the power of Christ, he became the leader of the disciples. He became the one who stood up for Christ. He became the one who preached the first evangelistic series. 300 souls were baptized. So what can you do for Christ today? Well, when Andrew accepted Christ's offer and he experienced his presence, and consequently, we have the church today. So, it is not necessarily about what you want, but it's what Christ wants for you. It's what God has in store for you. Therefore, what do you want for yourself? For me, I desired a couple of years ago to have Christ supported me when the question was asked. I desired to have Christ supported me in my selfish ways. I had my own plans. I had my own dreams. I had my own goals. I did not envision that Christ would have led me the way he has. I did not envision that he would have used me to minister to so many souls across this country and where I'm from. But it's not what I really want. It's what he wants for me. I can tell you today, my friends, as I wrap up, that because I allowed him to work in my life as a young man, I always tell people, age does not matter. All that matters is your heart of willingness to be used by him. I become passionate of the word of God because it's real to me. Through the word of God, Christ has taken me from a lower level, and he's still working on me. He's not done with me yet. I might make mistakes. I might have messed up along the way. But as a matter of fact, I'm still messing up. But I thank God for Christ. I thank God for his saving grace. He's bringing me there. And I want to share with you guys, out of my goals that I had within the last 5 years, two major ones was to start university and finish. Now, within the next few months, I'll be graduating. That's a major accomplishment in my life. And it's not because of me, my friends. It's truly not because of me. I'm telling you this. My background would not dare to allow a person to reach where I am today. It's not because of me, but it's because of the indwelling presence of Christ in my life. Praise God, I'm married also to a wonderful lady. So you see, I'm a living testimony of what it means to come and see. So what do you want? What do you want Christ to accomplish in your life? What do you want Christ to accomplish through you to impact the lives around you? Where do you see this church within the next 5 years? Where do you see yourself in this church doing in the next couple of weeks or month? My friends, I shall not and cannot remain the same after I see what Christ has done and can do through anybody. My first appeal is, if there is anybody here This will always be an appeal from me. I promise God I will always give someone the chance. If there's anybody here who have not given your life to Christ, but you desire to do so one day, not too late from now, my friend. If you desire to give your life to Christ one day, and you want to be prayed for, just raise your hands where you are. If you have not given your life to Christ, but you desire to do so one day. Praise the Lord. God sees your hands. You see, my friends, we cannot remain the same. We cannot allow that Lamb of God to pass us by and remain the same. So I encourage somebody to take this opportunity to surrender to Him. Secondly, if you, my friend, if you, being in your current situation, yes, you have been serving the church, yes, you have seen Christ working through others, but you desire for Him to use you some more. You want to be used a little more. You want to experience what it actually means to come and see and taste and feel what it means to dwell in the presence of Christ. And you want to say, you know, Jesus, I'm here and I want you to use me like never before. Just the way you have used Andrew, John, Peter, the disciples. You have been using other church members here to be a witness. You want Christ to use you, my friends, to serve more? Stand to your feet as we pray. Just stand to your feet. You know your heart. You know where you are. You know your desire. If you want Christ to accomplish His purpose in you, this is the time to ask. Shall we pray? Once more, you have done it, Father. You have done it. You have accomplished your will and your ways. You have spoken. We have listened. Our hearts have been moved, and we are compelled to allow you to work in our lives. We therefore desire to come and see what you have to offer. It's not what we want, but it's what you want. It's what you desire of us. Therefore, as we have made a public declaration for the first person who have raised her hand, signifying that she desire to have that personal relationship with you, she desire to give her life to you soon, we ask, Father, that you will take her where she is. You will cover her. You will speak to her. You will bring her and take her to a higher experience. For those of us who stand, who are standing, we ask that you will take us as we are. You know our desires. You know that we desire to be used more by you, to be agents of change, and to surrender everything to you. Therefore, take us and have your sweet own way. Bless us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.